Blog Talk Radio.
Shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports
and
Death.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
What's being taken away? Summer, which came kind of rapidly. And ain't feeling like summer no more. Well, series time, though. Early October. Late September. Early April. Sometimes in May, back in the day. Not too much. Starts and doors at Block Talk Radio. Doc Stanley here on a Sunday. Running real quickly. Thanks for showing here. Remembering Bob Gibson. The Hoot, 1.12 ERA, 22 wins, 9 losses. 5 of the losses was to shutouts to other pitchers. And Willie Mays used to say when he gets in, he just get up there, get on out. He get his hits off everybody else the rest of the weekend. I'm a Globetrotter one time, too. I'm 45. That's by the grace of God, how I am in every iota of my life. Meet and talk with the great Bob Gibson, greatest black pitcher in baseball history. Not good and could have been. The greatest black pitcher base history is Satchel Paige, but in the National League is Bob Gibson. So, with Gooden right behind him. My goodness. Doc Stanley Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trusted Government Network. But as we always do, a little gospel song. Touch the hem of his garment. Sam Cooke, greatest gospel singer of all time.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible days.
Well, T, we got you, baby. Don't move.
So very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made. She cried, oh, oh, and oh, and oh, said if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh,
this is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And with that intro, it's time to pray. Give up to God again today. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you for last night's lying down, this morning's getting up. My beloved Mother Vivian says, clothed in our right mind. Thank you, Lord, for shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, food on our table. Thank you for being among those that have that and those that have not, to be aware that they get it. We don't know what tomorrow brings, Lord. We know who brought today and who brings tomorrow. All honor and glory to your holy name for a debt paid that wasn't made hell long ago. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust in God Radio Network. He just wrote in. LT Trevor. See, it's been a while. Good to have you here with us again here on Sports in Depth. It's me and you today so far, maybe doing a short run. Remember Bob Gibson? And he just passed away. Lou Brock, teammate of his a couple of weeks ago. George Thomas Seaver. And now, two of the greatest pitchers of all time. One of the greatest baselessers of all time, and one of the few guys in the Hall of Fame with 3,000 hits that is in a lifetime 300 hitter, the great Lou Brock, who I had on many occasions, a couple of occasions to chat with. Remember, he was going to retire from baseball. Went to the Chicago Cubs. Things wasn't going well. He was going to retire from baseball. They traded him for the St. Louis Cardinals. As they say, the rest, they say, is history. LT, what's happening, man? LT?
What's going on, Doc? How you doing, bro?
How you feel? How's everything going, man?
Everything is great, brother. Everything is great. Congratulations on extending your show. Continue with going. Just been a great, great weekend.
That's great. So what's happening with you? Give us an update with you. We talked about football. We'll look at some scores later on. Some things have been happening here. Everybody's a little concerned. Not everybody, but, you know, presidents in the hospital. But what's happening later? LT, what's going on with the organization? How you feeling?
The organization is going great, Doc. We had a really good place, thank God. We're here, got the podcast about to launch by the end of this month. Right now we're in pre-production and also doing the blog. Got a couple of schools that we're getting the information into, and just really excited about what 2020-2021 is about to turn around into.
Well, you keep it abreast. Anything where you feel we can help you and be advantageous. And this, you know, this here is your platform too. So if you're in butts about that, so Sports in Depth
thank
is here
you,
for
thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's the vlog and the podcast is called the Esports Ed Radio and Esports TV. So we'll be launching it. We're writing everything myself, Coach Chuck and Coach Donald. Just like to give those two gentlemen a great big ups. But we've been scripting the shows. We're about 30 shows out, and as far as scripting is concerned, we've got a good team, and we're in the pre-production phase. And like I said earlier, we should be launching by the end of this month.
Okay, so sometime during this week, I'll hit you ahead of time. Why don't you yourself come on with both coaches and we'll talk some more, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Greatly appreciate
Okay, so then, hey, yeah, now I remember the great line from Roberto Clemente, and the great sports writer from the legendary Amsterdam News, Jamie Harris, mm-hmm. gave me one of the wristbands. Went to the football game. He said, hey, you can have a doc, and I looked on the wristband, Roberto Clemente, and then it said on the other side, I am my brother's keeper, Roberto Clemente. And one of the great sayings, too, was that, you know, anytime you have an opportunity on earth to help somebody, no, anytime you have an opportunity to help somebody and you don't do it, you're just wasting your time on earth. Roberto Clemente, I am my brother's keeper, and it's dovetailed by Nelson Mandela, and my brothers come in all colors. That's the problem with our society, though. You know, they don't see us all as in the same color. You know, I remember a pastor talked last week about one of the reasons why Christ was rejected by the Jews, because he wasn't what they expected. You know, he wasn't rich. He didn't have a power position, you know, his appearance. And we know his appearance because he was black. So here's this black guy, you know, he ain't rich, you know what I mean? He lives down there hanging out with the fellas in the ghetto. So, you know, perception can really be deception, you know. And it was just remarkable. It was remarkable. And we know three things he talked about today, too, you know. It's, you know, how do you see Jesus? Is Jesus your genie or is Jesus your God? But, you know, you look at so many things here. But that's what it's about, you know. Roberto Clemente is called the great one, not because he was the greatest right fielder of all time, or a great player, because he was the man who led the civil rights movement in Pittsburgh. He was a close friend of both Dr. King and Malcolm X. Six of one and a dozen of another. It's remarkable. But I understand this wasn't their Block Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. Remembering Bob Gibson and looking back over the course of the last 6 weeks, George Thomas Seaver passed away. And Lou Brock, and we also lose one of the great coaches in college basketball, John Thompson, who put Georgetown on the map and then did some things that showed he was quite a unique man. He got Patrick Ewing to come there and always thought that it was Patrick that put that school basketball program on the map. Alonzo Mourning, Sleepy Ford, Allen Iverson, and then Iverson's mother went to him, and John Thompson gave this young man a chance. When everybody else was discarding him, he had been wrongly accused, unjustly incarcerated, as always the case, you see, 99.9% of the times with us, and became one of the greatest players in the history of both college basketball and in the NBA. Alvin Iverson, my good boxing buddy. Dr. Andy Sports, the Block Talk Radio, Trust and Governor. Trevor, any thoughts? Were you a baseball fan? You remember Bob Gibson? Heard about Bob Gibson at all? Trev? Okay, we had some. I got to take a quick picture of some football scores here, too, because I'm a little. There's some games that have been canceled or pushed back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Trev, are you baseball? You familiar with Bob Gibson at all? I'm losing them back and forth there. Okay. We are trying to get some NFL scores here, too. So let's do a quick bat. We got the Saints. Look, they're going to win a game here. They're leading this. They're leading the Lions 35-20. That was a game too. That was almost called. The Chargers and the Buccaneers are in the third quarter with the Chargers up 24-21, and the Bengals leading the Jaguars 24-13 in the third quarter of their game. Get some more games for you here. Giants and Jets looking both for their first wins, and that may not come about as readily as they think. Giants are on the road today, I believe. Jets lost on Thursday out at the middle. So those are some updated scores for you. If I can find some more for you, I will go up one more time. You know that the Broncos beat the Jets 37-28. The Chiefs, a big win last week over the Raiders. Ravens 34-20. Packers, another 30-point game when they won 37-30 over the Saints, who are now winning. Buccaneers beat the Broncos, who didn't stay winless as they came to New York and beat the Jets. The Buccaneers won that game. Lions squeaked out one over the Cardinals last week, but right now they are not doing any squeaking. They are trailing. And we'll get that update for you right now. Actually, the Chargers are up on the Buccaneers 24-21. They got the football. The Bengals are leading the Jaguars 24-13. They got the football. Vikings in the Texas are really having a tough time. Look like they're on the downhill side of victory again. The fourth quarter, though, they're still in the football game. Just about a whole quarter to go, 24-16. The Vikings are leading them. Seahawks are beating the Dolphins. That would be a lot bigger football game point-wise for the Seahawks. They got a 17-12 lead going into the closing seconds of the third quarter. Browns starting to play some good football. Man, it looked they were going to fall down last week. They didn't. They're a big on the sliding Cowboys. I think about Jason Garrett. You know, here's a guy who gets fired as head coach, and he gets an offensive coaching job. But as Ali said, the complexion of the connection. Browns, man, Odell Beckham and company. Still in the early third quarter, too, second half. Just started 38-14 over the Cowboys. The Panthers are beating the Cardinals now, who are starting out well. They look having a two-game slide here, too. Panthers up 28-14 in them in the beginning of the third quarter. Ravens over Washington, no longer the Redskins. And Ravens looking to bounce back from their big loss last week to the Chiefs. And they're up 28-10 and just starting the third quarter. This could be the beginning of a fatal end for the Washington team. Giants and Rams play this afternoon. That may be just a delaying of a loss. Bills at the Raiders. Big game here because the Bills lead that division. Raiders are playing some good football, so a victory there with maybe, I think, New England not even playing today. That's going to be huge. Colts, another 4 o'clock game against the Bears and the Eagles and the 49ers. They're the night game today. And the Patriots will be tomorrow at the Chiefs. That may not work out, though. We'll see how to keep your stars up there on that. Some virus situations there. And also, we have the Falcons and the Packers. We have two games on Monday. Okay. So the Packers have scored 30 points in every one of their games that they've had so far. And right now, that's about it for your football scores. And we'll be probably next in. Trevor, you know, did you follow any baseball? Bob Gibson, all? Heard about Bob Gibson? Do you know about him?
Hi, that's me.
Okay, I can't believe he was in trouble. I think I lost him there. NBA Finals, Lakers 2-0, and two more to go as they're looking to win another championship. Some people talked about the bubble was different. I think it was Scottie Pippen. And, you know, I got to listen to Scottie Pippen. Another day, too, I got to rehash on this. I went into a place, and a young gentleman said he's a basketball fan, and he told me that he thought the greatest player of all time in his estimation was Scottie Pippen. And that's the first time I've heard anybody mention Scottie in that vein. Great player without question. And Michael Jordan said, had there been no Scottie Pippen, there'd have been no championships for him and the Bulls. The best number two man of all time. And the Batman and Robin case, he wasn't Robin. Maybe he was Batman and Jordan was Superman. Maybe that's the way you put him. He was his own character, only distinct personality in his own. Lock Standing Sports and the Block Talk Radio and Trust and Government Network. I got another call here. Who's my 404 call, gentlemen, real quickly here as we start to make a move? Who's joining us now?
What's going on, Doc Stan? This is Nas in Atlanta. What's going on?
Hey, man, Nas, where you been, baby? My goodness.
Oh, you know how it is, man.
Yeah, what?
How y'all brothers doing, man?
Good. Glad to hear from you. Now, I got Nas, I got Trevor here. I'm going to maybe roll this super trot. I got you, Nas. I got to get you with you. I want you to get back here with me, man. Because we miss you, you know, when you switch these phones, you lose number. The legendary Nas. Nas, Bob Gibson, you heard about his passing?
Yeah, man. Bob Gibson and Lou Brock in the same year. That's not really my era, but, like, my grandfather and my uncles talked about him in a certain way.
Well, did Lou Brock, you know what I mean? Bob Gibson, and Tom Seaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they kind of talked about him in a superhero way. You know what I mean? Like, kind of the same way they talked about Jim Brown. So that's kind of how I was introduced to him as a kid.
Yeah, he was. I mean, and Joe Torre, Nas, man, it's so good to hear from you. I got to make sure, you know, it was so good to hear from you. Joe Torre has, any time a situation would come up, he'd have, for the Yankees, positivity, he had a Bob Gibson story. Bob Gibson was a guy that he idolized as a teammate. You know, Torre won the MVP in batting championship. He was the St. Louis Cardinal. And it was Joe Torre who gave Bob Gibson the pitching coaching job here as a as New York Mets. He said Mr. Gibson all the time, and I remember talking to him, and we talked about, and I said the big thing about players today is the fundamentals that they don't have like they had yesterday. And Mr. Gibson talked about that. He said he was surprised as a pitching coach that the pitchers from the minor leagues didn't know how to turn and throw to second base. They didn't fundamentally know how to turn and throw to second base. The 22-9 season, 1.12 ERA, him and Koufax was the reason why they said they lowered the mound. Just a great, and he was an outstanding basketball player, too. A little unbeknownst to a lot of people, or maybe, yeah, nowadays, you know, he was a Harlem Globetrotter for a while. Tremendous basketball player. When you talk about him and Lou Brock, I mean, Lou Brock, all-time stolen base king until Ricky Henderson came along, 3,000 base hits, World Series MVP. The Cardinals won the World Series in 64 and 67, lost it in 68 only because of a miscue in the outfield. The ball was got sun in Fred Flood's eyes. But, you know, Jumpshot Jonesy asked me yesterday, you know, Bob Gibson has a strikeout record for most strikeouts in a World Series game. And 15, which tied Sandy Koufax, he struck out the great Al Kaline, who was the youngest man to win a batting championship in baseball history. And then Gibson struck out two more guys. And he's all en route to winning again until that Roney is playing the outfield. But a great human being, a man of great pride, great black pride and dignity, and prostate cancer. Got a chance to have meet him, cut pitches. Always a gentlemanly guy. Old school mindset. You know, if you wanted his team, he wasn't into chatting with you. They said All-Star game, he wouldn't talk to but a few people, maybe Willie Mays, and Aaron and Clemente. But he felt, you know, that's what you did. Frank Robinson was the same way, too. You know, I remember they said the Dodgers couldn't understand when they traded the Giants can understand when Bobby Thompson got traded to the Braves, how he could be talking to Dodgers sitting around the batting cage, man. But that's how the things are. Nas, rocking and rolling here. May have to run early. Football-wise, what's happening down there in Atlanta, man?
Not much. Typical uprising. People down here trying to get the coach fired. They want him to go. The season is looking real bad. But, I mean, you've seen it, man. Just spectacular losses, man. Been carrying leads into the third and fourth quarter and just found ways to give them away.
It reminds me a lot of the, you know, Andy Reid always had a problem with time management, Nas.
Yeah, Andy suffered from that. Probably still suffers from that. I think they kind of passed that along to somebody on the staff, and now they kind of remind Andy. But this thing with him is more than time management. He's just not, you know, he's just not a great coach, man, and his time has probably come. People wanted him to go last year, but somehow he kept the job, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I've long said coaches don't win games, they lose them, and you know, he validates that. I'm taken back by Jason Garrett. But, you know, they stay in that circle. You know, I always said the personal connection, you know, these guys. And I say it just refers me, LT and Nas, how you can fire a guy in Chicago and he get a job in Detroit. Well, wait, didn't he get fired in Chicago? So that's enough. You give him a job in Detroit, and the guy in Detroit will get fired. You give him a job in Minnesota, and the job guy in Minnesota, he gets a job in New Orleans. I mean, wait a minute. What if he was incompetent there, you know, what makes him competent? You know, all of a sudden competent. I mean, it's like the Hall of Fame. If you didn't vote the guy in the Hall of Fame when he was on the ballot, so how does the Veterans Committee put him in? I mean, he didn't play anymore. He didn't get any better. So if he couldn't make it on the ballot, and there may be some cases that are different. I mean, you take the Jim Rice case. I'm befuddled by that. But I'm not. As the great man Boykin says, remarkable to me, but it's not. He was a guy last year on the ballot. Led the league in home when he retired in baseball, had the most home runs, most RBIs of his era, and yet he's on the ballot for 15 years. Nobody voted him in. In whole history of baseball, Nas, in whole history of baseball, LT, there's only been two batters in the history of baseball that had a 3-year run consecutively where they had driven over 100 runs, scored over 100 runs, double figures in triples and doubles, got 200 hits, a 300 batting average, and averaged 40 home runs 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row. Jim Rice is the only right-handed batter, the only black player to do that in history of baseball. And here's a guy who got on the last year on the ballot, he made it into the Hall of Fame. So there are some guys that if he didn't get in, I can understand the Veterans Committee putting him in. Then again, I'm saying, too, well, then why did you put him in the first place? But it's crazy, though. Now, as we're looking at football here, this is the one season so far that was able to start on time. But they're still having this some virus issues, but they're still able to make it. I'm thinking due to the fact that their season started at the latter part of this year, that was very advantageous, allowing them to be able to play, unlike in the same kind of continuity that you had in baseball and basketball.
Well, I think basketball did a good job. They still got two games left, but it looks like the bubble was successful. They will crown a champion. The NFL is not out of the woods, man. They've already had to reschedule multiple games. They were scared this morning about the Detroit-New Orleans game, whether they could play it because they got a positive test on the flight in. So football kind of dropped the ball, man, because they should have done a bubble system the same way the NBA did. But it's like they took this arrogant approach, kind of similar to, you know, the president, where they were just assuming things would go right and they wouldn't have to worry about it. But when you're talking about rosters of that size, the chance of just one person getting it and then you're getting a cluster effect of hurting other people, well, you got serious problems here. So, yeah, right now the season is going, but, man, there are huge chances for the season to be interrupted and them have to having to figure things out. Because once you start rescheduling, that means you take away bye weeks, and at a certain point it becomes what? Not a fair competition because you'll have certain teams playing all the way through and certain teams getting their regular bye, or you have to suspend, you know, postpone games. Like, they are really playing with fire right now, man. Like, they were lucky to get it, to get everything kicked off today.
Man, you know, Nas, it's what I say, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when you listen to and with the in-depth knowledge and device intellect of Dr. Iconic Posse, Sports in Depth is two, the world in depth. And I say you hear things here that you don't hear anyplace else. You learn things here you can't learn anyplace else. That's not because the people, the panel here and my posse, not because they're the best. They're the absolute best. And you see, and because the perception, too, is that things went well. You're right, Nas. They started on time. And you're right. They could have picked up the ball. And a lot of – and there was some talk about, you know, the bubble wasn't in the mindset of some people, the way things – they didn't like it. But it worked. You got NBA championships going to be crowned. You didn't have a lot of the problems that you're right that we're having here with pro – football, and you could have had, okay, you know what, we'll have one, two bubbles. We'll have east bubble, we'll have a west bubble, and then we'll have a third bubble for the Super Bowl. You're right. They could have did that. You know, it's 100% true, man. But as he says, the great Mary Morgan says, perpetrating the fraud, and you're right, as these problems are starting to pop up. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Problem here, and you understand, things are the way the good Lord desires it. But the problem here, and you can see it now, is the guy in the White House. The perception, the lies, the refusal. You know, we're talking about the constant systematic racism in this country. And the man at top is the poster child for it. Okay, he came into a position where he had instructions, he had the guidelines, he had the committees set before him by the president before him. But, wow, I guess since the guy was black, he didn't want to listen. Well, that's why he's in Walter Reed Hospital now. And you know, it's not so bad if it's just him. But it is bad if it is the fact that it affects other people. Call in, Dusty. Call in. And, you know, it's sad and touching. It's sad and touching.
Yeah,
you know, man. It didn't have to happen.
Right. And see, the biggest thing you got to look at is if he's running for reelection on the economy, you can see where he had the incentive to try to push this under the rug and hope that it goes away or hope that it doesn't get as bad as 100 years ago. And for the last pandemic, But the exact opposite happened. This was a global situation. Trees who handled their business are now opening back up and doing all right. They've kind of stemmed the tide of the virus. But here, where we were doing, shelter in place and then taking it off, taking it on, taking it off, telling people to wear a mask, then telling them not to, people social distancing, and then having concerts and football games and crap. Like, we just didn't listen, and now we're taking the pain. It's like when you were in school, man, and they told you, if y'all, everybody passes this test, then we get a pizza party. Well, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you don't get the pizza party. And that's what we're dealing with now in America.
Yeah,
we
you
don't
got
get
a pandemic,
the pizza party because we didn't do what we were supposed to do.
A pandemic party, that's what you're getting.
Hey, Nas called us again, baby. We got Atlanta back in the house.
Oh, good,
no,
good. God bless.
Bro.
Yo, how you doing, baby? To back up what you said, to piggyback on what you're saying, one individual caused this whole nonsense. And unfortunately, he's in power. And because he BS and blame it on the Democrats and the Chinese and all that, we are in this. I mean, I don't think, God forbid, I hope God is, I'm wrong, that we're going to get over this maybe after the next year. And hopefully when we get a new president. And even then, I doubt it, if we get a new president, this is going to clean up. Because this is, I don't know your ages, but I know my age. And let me tell you something. I've seen all my life diseases and diseases after diseases, but the government took control and controlled the son of a bitch. We've had legionnaires, four different types of malaria, Spanish flu, this flu and that flu, but we took charge and contained it to a certain time. This dude let it spread like a leper colony, man.
And he lied. He continued to lie about it.
Yeah, he continues to lie about it, and now he's paying the price because he himself is screwed up. Four or five of his Hitler stooges now are coming down heavy, and it's spreading. And now they're giving him the best vaccine antidote. What about the poor folks in the ghettos who didn't get shit and they're dying? What, over close to 300,000 and death in the millions because he blamed it on China and because, oh, this is a political thing and because he wants, and then he opens up. And all these fools, did you see the fools standing by the hospital waving and singing songs so he can recover?
Yeah.
I mean, this world has become a political, racial garbage can. And it's sad. And it is damn sad.
Sad and touching, as Howard Wilson would say. Sad and touching.
Yeah.
He's talking about he brought back Tampa football. It's just...
He didn't do nothing.
It's very simple. All he had to do, first of all, here's two things here that I said.
Hello?
Doc dropped off.
Hello?
Yeah, he'll call right back. Yeah, Doc must have dropped off. He'll call right back.
Yeah, but anyway, the thing that is sad, Cam Newton just came down.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is caught coronavirus. He may be out for the season. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, man.
And he was doing so well with the Patriots.
Right. Yeah. And think about what Doc was just saying about him bragging about starting college football. That's a disgusting thing to do. The idea that the professional leagues are having trouble handling this, you're going to actually make student athletes get out here and play these games. Kids are the most irresponsible people ever. You think they ain't going to parties and hanging out on campus
and
all that stuff?
Exactly.
And you're going to have them playing game? Like, that is sick, man.
And they're the ones that are getting sicker and then spreading the bad news all over the place. They have no discipline.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And wow, it's a sad thing. I don't know. I'm very, very, very skeptical about what's going to happen in the year, but I'm going to tell you guys, you can beat me up if you want to. My gut is telling me that this sucker's going to win the election again.
You know, that's sad and touching. You said something, too, about the fact that people, in the hospital, the guy seems to have a following of idiots. I mean, I remember James Santos.
Closet racist people.
my father said, I mean, James Santos told me something, sports writer, that, you know, his father told me something years ago. You never, I'm getting it, man, never underestimate the stupidity of the American public, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the, like I said, here's the bottom line. If you took everything off the board, here's a guy who had no qualification. This guy didn't have a driver's license, okay? And these idiots gave him a pilot's license, and then to show you how stupid they are, they got on the plane with him. That's Republicans, okay? This guy didn't have a driver's license. You gave him a pilot's license, and you knew he couldn't fly, and you got on the plane with him, okay? And he's now, and you see, they all flew with him. They're all catching the virus with him. But he had no qualifications for the job. Now, sad and touching, I've heard the redundancy of people, well, I can call coons now, CANs, who voted for this guy. This guy has done nothing for black people. Everything he did was the whole black. The only success he ever had from a black perspective was working with Don King and boxing. But, I mean, my thing is, if you had any allegiance to blackness, you went with Hillary simply for the fact that she worked with Obama. That's all. That's what they do. It's amazing. You know, when black people and Latin people do that, we're racist. It's nepotism.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When they do it, it's unity. But how could you have voted for Hillary? Had two things going for, supposedly. She worked with Obama, but more importantly, she had experience in politics. This guy had no experience in politics. Every venue he's been in has been a disaster.
The guy was nothing but a racist building builder with his father, who denied black folks occupancy. His father was suspected of a member of the Ku Klux Klan. His grandfather was a member of the German-American Bund. I mean, and coincidentally, the dude is of German descent. So he's doing the Hitler over here. This is the second coming of Hitler. And unfortunately, what he's doing is replicating what Hitler has done, but in his country. Hitler tried to destroy other countries, but this guy is destroying our country with everything. And, and did you see what he said about Omar? How stupid! And yet we put him into office. This dude,
Dusty, LT. Nah, it's not only this. This guy. How could anybody in New York vote for this guy? This guy has constantly showed disdain for his own home state. He's done, as the typical situation is, the government doesn't just give New York City any money. And, yeah, it just, I mean, like I said, if you just went from the perspective of the guy had no qualification, here's a guy who is a hockey player, and you're sending him out to play shortstop, and he's batting third. Never played the game. And the guy had a good thing today. You know, when the pandemic became talked about, he said, well, the old people are going to die anyway. Okay, that was that. All right, when he had the brush fires out on the West Coast, he said that the scientists were wrong. Now, everybody that doesn't go with him, he said that they're wrong on this pandemic stuff. They're going to have a vaccine by before election. But, Dusty, it's frightening. It's frightening to think that denies him having a chance
to win, and
he could win again.
But this is
that's the sad part about it, because it was a big upset, supposedly, got in the first time.
Yeah.
But the fact that after 4 years
of this redundancy,
we'll see. Dr. Sandy Sportsnet, Blog Talk Radio, Tucson Garvin Network, you got to move away. Go ahead, Dusty.
No.
It's Nas. Yeah. This is the issue, though. When you have a problem within your family, if you just try to cover up that problem, sweep it under the rug, eventually that problem manifests. Let's say you got a bathroom
and
you just keep closing the door. You never decide to clean it. And that would be race in America. So we never decided to clean this thing. So because of that, after 8 years of Obama, you had people who had certain racial ideas about the world that just completely blew their mind. They didn't know what to do. This dude acted like the Pied Piper and was able to capitalize on that by playing into their beliefs. And that's what he's written ever since then. And he's going to keep writing.
We knew or we should have learned who he was, what he wanted. If you guys go back in history, like I said, I'm older than you guys. The Central Park Five.
Just you're a vampire. You're older than everybody. You're about 2,606 years old, you guys. You're older than everybody around.
Those, He wanted those guys executed, and that sellout, yes, Ed Koch. Ed Koch was his godfather.
In the newspaper, yeah. Full page ad in the newspaper.
And Ed Koch, that piece of crap, was his godfather. Because he got into Ed Koch, built a lot of buildings on the field, helped the Manhattan Zoo, and did this on the field. So now all of a sudden, they were talking about him becoming mayor after Koch. And then maybe governor, because he was such a prize catch. But he said, and people don't remember, or mayor whatever.
Hold. You mean they were talking about Trump becoming mayor?
Exactly. Koch. They were talking about, because he became the darling of New York.
Come on, stop, Jesse, stop. One more time, fans. One more time. What did I tell you? And with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, sports in depth is to the world in depth. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Did you know that? Did anybody here know that? How many people know that he had a shot at mayor?
Not so much a shot. He had eaten these people, including Koch's rear end, that they became so enamored with him that I said, man, maybe this guy could run for it. And they were talking about it. And then he says, and look the research, if it's not there, it's gone. He said, well, man, governor, I think I'm better off running for president. And that was during Ed Koch's administration.
How long
was that? He planted the guy. I'm sorry, the family show. He planted the I met him, and this is no lie. I met him when I was manager of a security company in World Trade Center. And guess what? I don't know if you guys know it. He was going to buy the World Trade Center.
Yep.
And I escorted it up to the office of the manager. So, but the deal went bad or whatever the heck happened. But he was going to buy the center.
Because, like always, he didn't have the money. Posturing, lying, borrowing, stealing.
Yeah, right.
You know the
game. No, really. They never explained why. They said, oh, the deal fell dead, and they killed the story. But he was going to buy the trade center. But the fact of the matter is that this dude, we knew, all of us, all the Technicolor people in this world knew who he was, and yet he became president. And one of the biggest faults, disqualifying faults of a candidate is not producing his tax papers. He refused. He didn't do it. He's the first president that went into the presidency without producing his tax returns. And he still hasn't done it. So this, it's our fault.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Our fault. It's their fault. You look at those voting percentages. He got the vote from them, and that's it. That's the only demographic he won. He won from the wealthy to the poor. Them.
He got white folks
when I say that.
He got a lot of votes from blacks.
A lot of people did.
12%.
No.
That's not a lot. It's a lot for a Republican, but not a lot.
Yeah.
So
well,
he didn't get a lot of black folks.
Did you see the debates now where some of these turncoat blacks are supporting him? Did you see that beautiful woman from Baltimore? I think she had that ad.
Gentlemen, here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
If he got one black vote, that was way too many. Okay?
Exactly.
That's the reality of the situation.
But you see this loyalty to him. Every group is going to have turncoats, man. Every group is going to have turncoats.
Nas, you're right, baby.
It ain't enough black people to produce enough football teams for the NFL. Let's say NFL 32 teams, 53-man rosters. They barely got enough of that as far as the black vote. And it's majority male because the majority of black women at 89%, they voted for what? Hillary Clinton. So it definitely ain't on us. This is on them. White women voted for him at 47%. This is on them. This ain't on us.
With all due respect to you, I disagree. We have a part in it. Maybe a 1% or 2%. When you see these,
what happened with Dinkins. Had all the black voters went out there and voted, you could have circumvented it. And that's why they talk about Dinkins. There's no way in the world Dinkins should have not had a second term here in New York.
Exactly.
City. And as a cop, I remember the PBA was knocking Giuliani. He was a cop persecutor, all that kind of stuff. Dinkins comes in here, the second best mayor we had for the police department since Lindsay.
Exactly. And Giuliani joined.
I hear what y'all are saying, but the numbers just don't bear out. We're 13% of this population. This ain't on us, man. This is on the majority.
Listen to me, girl. You know what? That's a very good point. The way if we make up, hey Doc, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. What you say, babe?
No, I'm saying, I think it was Nas who just made a good point. If I'm not mistaken, the gentleman who just spoke, he said, we make up 12% of the of the population. So if we only make up 12% of the population, how are the numbers so staggering on our end that we might have dropped the ball, right? So that's something also to keep in mind and keep in perspective. Even though we might have voted, even though we might have lent the extra couple of votes in one direction that we might not have needed to and then elect someone that we're gonna that the nation is like, we need to get rid of this guy. He's not who we thought he was.
LT, what you're saying, LT, is that no matter how it came down, they were putting him in. Russian, smushing. So what you're saying, you know, he was the complexion of the connection, and they were going to do it, that great line by Malcolm X, by any means necessary, they were going to get him in. I mean, because now they say he won by only 70,000 votes. That state, someplace in Michigan, they went from Democratic blue to Republican red. So it was
which is Hillary's fault for never campaigning there. But you got to think about it like this. If 47% of white women voted for that dude, they turned their back for the idea of what?
Hillary, you know what? Yeah, I said that too. I said how vital. Yeah, how vital the white woman's vote was, and you look at that too. How did you know? You would have thought they would have wanted to be part of history. Would have been back to back and kind of sided with Hillary. And you know, you're telling me, gentlemen, once again, you had more black women vote for Hillary than white women.
Exactly, white women. Let me tell you something about the white. They believed, and they still believe in something. Women in general believe this, and there's no mistake about it. They believe that politics is for the man. Even now is not when we get into say, hey, me too. But the critical point with women, with Hillary, was the fact that she belonged in the house, the wifey-difey, taking care of the kids, cleaning the house and cooking for the great man to come home. The days that she collapsed, going into the airplane for another convention, she collapsed. You know what the general populace believe of the women? Oh, she's going through her menopause. See, a woman who goes through that cannot be president. I mean, they killed her because she was a female. That's why she lost very closely, because she won the popularity votes. And she lost the electoral votes, and those are the ones that count. But the fact of the matter is that we have to understand.
White women's feminism is race first. Never forget
second.
That.
Exactly.
Why? Race first, feminism second. Never forget that.
Well, you know what? Hey, hold it. Can you shoot
statement.
That one more time?
That is a brilliant statement, brother. White women's feminism is race first, feminism second. And they showed you that.
And this election showed that.
Yeah. Well, and this is why we are dealing with that. But the fact of the matter is, I want to just state my case that you said percentage, we didn't vote for him. But those of us, and this is where we differ from the pale faces. Why should I vote? It don't mean a shit to me. And those are the percentiles that gave him the office, those who stayed home and didn't vote. That's the key. That's the problem here. If all of us said, circle the wagons and says, we're going to march to the polling place, I don't care what the opposition, and I don't care if I didn't get my my ballot in the mail. I'm going to go there and vote. Up, rise up. Al Sharpton has a book called Rise Up. Oh, what a tremendous book. We all rised up and went to the polling. This guy couldn't even get one vote. But that's the problem. And then you have these turncoats like the Herschel Walkers and all these folks who adore
Jesse, Jesse, will you stop taking stuff out of my mind, please? I was going to say that. Will you stop it, please? Hey, Jesse.
Look. Those traitors amongst us deserve all the ire that we give them. But
exactly.
Again, this election was decided on what? The Electoral College, and the biggest states where it happened was Michigan and Wisconsin. And in Michigan and Wisconsin, we turned out to vote. But guess what? White working class voters who Hillary didn't visit in Michigan and Wisconsin, they said, you know
there.
What? Maybe the Dems ain't for me. This is a lot of part of the DNC's problem, because where's their actual outreach for working class people? You see, the DNC, instead of going after working class people right now, what did they do? They said, we're going to get independents and we're going to get Republicans to change their mind, instead of creating that, you know, that Obama consensus, that group of people who turned out, you know, one of the highest electoral participation rates ever. Instead of going after that group, they still trying to get some of these Republicans to change their mind, and these so-called independents who are actually Republicans to change their mind. So they still chasing the suburbs when they need to be talking to the people who got Obama elected twice.
Exactly.
These are the mistakes they make, and that's why this is close now. It shouldn't even be close.
And the thing is, too, that Hitler Trump turned around and he generated, got all the closet racists, all the white professionals and all that. He generated them with the race situation. See how he lambasted Cory Booker and all them people. But the fact of the matter is that guys like Mitch McConnell, Trump, are guys who will race bait you from here to kingdom come and will never stop. You see, the problem with me is that I firmly believe, you guys, again, you don't have to agree, I firmly believe that Whitey is afraid of us. I firmly believe that Whitey is so used to being number one that when we encroach upon him and become one like Obama did, they'll turn around and try to destroy you and dehumanize you. This is why this guy came out of nowhere and won. I mean, it's a racial thing. Obama had the nerve to invade the last stronghold of white supremacy, the White House. Jackie Robinson had the nerve to invade the biggest sports franchise in the world, baseball. And they turn Obama into the Jackie Robinson of politics. That's what I believe. That's what I feel.
No, that's a good point.
The international heads of other countries like Putin and England and France, they didn't want to deal with Obama, but they have to accept
it. They're laughing now, though.
They don't want to deal with Obama, but they had to accept him. But he had a tough time with them suckers. But he imposed himself as a professional, and I'm very proud of him.
And you just
see,
when he first became president, both houses got together and said, you know, they weren't going to work with him. The reason why we have this
Mitch
pandemic.
Mitch McConnell said that. Mitch McConnell said.
Because he told everybody 5 years ago what to do. This thing should have been so in place that when Trump came at it, they should have said, no, the president before you did that. No, we're going to do. So, hey, you know what? You read what you sow. But it validates what you're saying about the trial and tribulation he went through. Look, Ali said something that we can never forget. Of all his great saying, besides I am the greatest, besides that I never looked down on people that looked up to me, besides the fact that service to others is the rent you pay for your room on earth. His most profound saying is, in America, when you're black, no matter how famous you are, how rich you are, how much of a philanthropist you are, you're just another nigger.
Exactly. How many times I told you the story of Floyd Patterson moving into Scarsdale, okay? He moved into Scarsdale. The dentist next to him found out that he was a Negro. He said, oh, no, I don't want them guys. I don't want this. You know, so he started building a fence around his house.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the neighbors told him, well, you know, this is Floyd Patterson. This is a heavyweight champ in the world. I don't care who he is. He's still a nigga. That's
hey,
what
hey,
I mean.
And
Floyd Patterson,
well,
let me tell you
a
story. Floyd
that
Patterson said, I'm not, Floyd Patterson said, I'm not moving from here. But you know how they moved him? They got to the kids in school, and the teachers were not supportive, and they blamed the kids for fighting back, for, and the kids didn't want to go to school. And that's
yeah.
how they
you know,
got
and, and the stories are numerous. Willie Mays out in San Francisco, they don't want Willie Mays in the neighborhood. Willie, we don't mind you catching fly balls. We don't keep the greatest player ever. Didn't want Willie Mays. The stories are numerous. And the stories are just numerous. Redundant of black athletes, black stars. You know, it's the way America is. Gentlemen, give me 2 seconds here. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Black Radio, Trust and Garvin Network. Yeah, we what's the sports show? Okay. Here you go. The Saints are leading the Lions 35-29. The Buccaneers are beating the Chargers 35-21. The Beagles up 30-22 over the Jaguars. And hey, gentlemen, can y'all please continue? Please don't stop.
Yeah, well, to make his point, that was an old Chris Rock joke where he talked about somebody being a dentist living next to him and looking at him crazy. Just think about that. Patterson, one of the best at his craft at the time in the world, famous man, all this and that. Guy next door is a dentist, and he's looking down on him as if they got equal accomplishment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy, man. This problem that we've been trying to solve for a long time that they keep telling us doesn't exist, you see it can be exploited at any time.
I love that, Nas. It doesn't exist.
Look, the honest truth is we are lucky that they found somebody this stupid to exploit this loophole. Because if you had a competent politician who went out there and ran a racist campaign like Trump did, they'd be more effective. They'd be able to get more done. So that's the scary part about it. We're lucky this guy's a moron.
He's a moron. He's stupid, and hopefully he'll be gone and collect penny. Hopefully he'll go to prison, because if we did one ounce
oh,
of what this dude has done, and he's a 5-time draft dodger, he wasn't the last dodge of his draft was because he hurt his leg playing lacrosse, and then he caused us the military suckers and losers. I mean, and they're all covering up for him? My Lord, what's going on? Maybe this is something, a message from God. It says, look, you guys live the coast. You live so well and comfortable, and you think you're successful. I'm going to send you the devil so you can live with him for 4 years. And then he may live with you for 8 years. Did you see one of his press conferences when he says, I'll win the next 4 years? But then he says, how about 12 years? And they all applauded. 8 more years, make it 12. And they approved it.
And in the words of Harold Weston said, gentlemen, hold on a second. Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way. Mr. Gaye, please.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing. Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing. No bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try? To save a world. To save a world. That's destined to die. That is destined to die. When I look at the world. When I look at the world. It fills me with sorrow. It feels. Little children today. Children today. Really gonna suffer tomorrow. Really suffer.
tomorrow. Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
Such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live
for life.
Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good doctor.
Hey, gentlemen. Wow. Give me a roll. Gentlemen, Nas, are you around tomorrow?
Maybe. I got to work, though, so I'm not sure, man. But I got to work.
Give me
right
a call,
now,
man. I want to come on back. I want to bring us back tomorrow. Me, you, Dusty, LT, probably Bobby C, talk a little football. Actually, just talk. This is what it's all about, man. You know,
yes, sir.
Very good having you back again, man. Catching up with you.
Yeah, man. Good talking to y'all, brothers, man.
Yeah, great. Good.
Now, this is what it's about.
Good conversation.
Hold on, Jay. Hold on, Naz. Dusty, closing thoughts real quick, baby.
My who?
Closing thoughts. Your closing thoughts.
My closing thoughts is that this is long overdue. We have sports figures, black sports figures like the Jim Browns and all that, who sit there and talk about race, and then he comes up and says, well, we ought to have some dialogue with them. There's no dialogue is over. We are war. We've had a multiple of Rodney Kings before the original Rodney Kings, and we have had people killed.
Tremendous point.
You know, we have people killed like Breonna Taylor and Floyd and Sanders, and we still have done nothing. Did you see the prosecutor for Breonna Taylor? He refused to release the transcripts, and they're only charging one of the cops who fired blindly. Mm-hmm. The bullets went into a white woman's apartment. But now,
Dusty, no. I was saying that too, Dusty. It's remarkable. The only charge came on the fact that the bullets went into a non-black house. Therefore,
right.
And the
stray bullets that went into a black apartment, he was not prosecuted. Now, how do you think? It's sad. It's a sad. Our only victory, and I'm going to share this, our only victory, even though I'm skeptical, is that this dude is out of office and gets to wear a jump prison pink suit and Adidas sneakers in Rikers Island. That's the only...
Not Nike. Hold on, Dusty, because you got to say goodbye in Spanish. LT, last thoughts, baby.
Hello?
LT with us. Okay, Nas, last thoughts, baby.
Yeah, man, when you look at median age for the country, that's average age. Our average age is 27 years old.
Yep.
Theirs is 59. Mm-hmm. Time is getting short. That's why they're getting scared and acting in the way that they're acting right now, man.
Exactly.
The new day is coming, whether people like it or not. That's the way of the world. You don't get to choose on that, and they're going to find that out.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Blog Talk Radio and Trust and Guard Network. We'll be back tomorrow. There's a part two because we ain't through. Nas, LT, the Azusti. W, tell everybody good night in Spanish.
Buenas noches, mis hermanos, y los adoro. I love you both. All of you, take care, and tomorrow we'll go to war again.
Part
right,
two, baby.
Right,
come
Bobby.
Ready.
Part
come
two.
Ready.
Stop.
Doc Stanley, sports of the Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Remembering Bob Gibson, 22-9, 1.12 ERA, won the Cy Young Award, the most strikeouts in the history of a World Series game. And with that, we're going to go. Leaving you with three thoughts. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Service to others is earned your pay for your room here on earth. Muhammad Ali. I am my brother's keeper, Roberto Clemente, and my brother's come in all color, Nelson Mandela. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Dusty, LT, and
God
I
bless.
Saying part two. Hey, we're coming back to you tomorrow. Love you, Dusty. Take care, baby.
Thank you. I'm going to bring all my knives with me.
Hey, Dusty, hey, you know I got my switchblade, dog.
Not the biggest mind, so you better watch it, man.
Well, that's why I'm walking behind you, shit.
That's right. You know we Puerto Ricans got knives, man, so don't get
hey, baby, viva the revolution.
Later, God bless. Take
okay,
care.
Dusty.
Take care bye-bye.
We're back tomorrow, gang, no doubt about that. Sports in Depth, Dr. Stanley and his sports posse, Dusty, Atlanta Nas, and LT is an in-depth, informative, educational, historical look at the world of sports on his renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. Diversity from both a daily and historical perspective, and also both an in-depth look and perspective not only on the sports of our times, but to the players and performers of the said events, both now and of yesteryear. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us the unique strategies of sports from an intellectual perspective, not just athletics, but that it takes raw, God-given talent and conditioning to bless true mind with passion, determination, intellect, belief of competing, accomplishing too. In-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of that iconic posse, which you saw today, was in depth to the world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again, where we always rope the rumors, at issues, and the truth. After these words of wit, wisdom, and truth, the promise of tomorrow is none. Thank you, God, for the good things I do through you and for you. It be late. It was on time. Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Nerd. Thanks for being with us one more time. Take care and good night. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. Goodbye, my heart. Bless you all. Trust in God. Sports in Depth, Bob Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network.
I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.